Check, 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 check. Check, check. All right.
That's it.
I'm back, baby.
Yes. After a week off. What did you do in your time off?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. It's not as exciting as it sounded.
I tried to keep on top of news stories.
That's good.
I found myself just feeling like I'm just we're flooded with just way too many topics to
drowning.
They're just stuff's coming out so rapidly, and I feel the need to talk about a lot of it.
Yeah,
it's almost like a compulsion,
which can be both good and bad, right?
Yeah, it's bad. It's all bad.
Can go both ways. Yeah. No, it's not really quite where we want to go, but some of these things I think merit discussion.
Some of them merit discussion. So for this show, I think I want to do something called Lightning Round, and I was going to do a gag with a timer where we actually set the timer.
I put my phone for that.
Had it ring. You did?
Yeah. So we could like how long do you want to do? Like 10 minutes? We go, bing!
Okay, 10 minutes each segment. We have four sections.
Okay. And then do we want to talk about our lantern walk or like we've got our things?
Lantern walk?
Yeah, we've got our things we do now. Because we're like following a structure and we're doing a thing.
Yeah. I've completely forgotten whatever it is that we're doing
what
here.
What are we doing here? I don't even know.
Yes. So, no, I was not thinking about that because last Saturday we were planning on a walk and we had everyone loaded into the car. We drove to the park where we were planning a walk, got out of the car. And one of our little darlings had Crocs and no socks and no coat at all, just a t-shirt.
A t-shirt and shorts.
And shorts.
It was 32 degrees.
It was 32 degrees. We're like, 34, this is 34. We're like, all right, here we are for a bracing walk in the crisp fall air with our coats and, you know. And, you know, it is true that if we got moving after about a half hour of moving, I'd probably be carrying my coat, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I had like a couple of layers on, I expected to take one off.
Yeah.
But still.
And also true that we had carefully informed the kids over and over and over again
and like
what to wear.
And apparently they were like casting their coats off on the way to the car.
Yeah, so they had their coats in their hands. They'd leave the house, and then when we'd get in the car, we'd find that the coat was gone.
It's not in the car. We pulled that part. We pulled the car apart looking for that coat.
Yes. So we just, that was like the window. That was our time window for the weekend.
For the walk.
So we just had to turn around and come home and like glare at each other. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, but we did get a bonus walk in.
We did.
So why don't you describe that?
So our walk last week actually ended up being a lantern walk for Martinmas, where we went to our friends, the Martins farm, and celebrated the Feast of St. Martin de Tours, who was a military man and conscientious objector. And so we got there after dark. We lit our lanterns. We had a brief talk about him, and then we lit our lanterns.
It was kind of appropriate to the topic because it featured this guy in the like Roman legion who gave a poor beggar his coat.
Yes.
Or like he tore it in half.
Like he had a big cloak. Which is basically a blanket with a fastener, right?
Yeah.
So he tore it in half, so each of them had a half a blanket to go on with the day.
Yeah.
And he had a vision of Jesus that night.
None of us were in a position to tear our coats in half.
Actually, no, one of the people there ended up giving each of them a blanket to wrap around themselves to walk.
That's true. It was true. Good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure they will quite get the story the same way we did, but
right.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So we lit our lanterns and we took a walk around the farm. It wasn't nearly as long as we had hoped to take the children on a walk, but we took a walk. We had a big bonfire.
Yeah.
We drank cider and ate tea cakes and wine. It was lovely.
It was nice to be in the dark around a bonfire. It was very primal.
Mm, yeah.
Primordial.
I felt it. I was there for it.
Yeah. So that was nice. That was our walk. Yeah, I just want to emphasize, we did work on getting the kid. The kids do have coats.
They own coats. Don't send us coats.
Don't need to.
We have so many coats.
No need to call Child Protective Services. And also, their siblings had been tasked, their older siblings,
like,
who are 13 and 11.
Like, make sure your siblings, don't let them throw their coats away.
Had been tasked with making sure that the younger kids who wind up in car seats in the very back,
third row.
So it's hard for us to see them and check on them, and because we can't really climb back there ourselves.
Oh, that was the thing. It kept happening.
Yeah.
Like every time we turn up somewhere, someone was like had
coatless.
Like, yeah. What?
And the older siblings are like, oh, sorry, I was staring into space. I didn't notice. Okay. I mean, right after we said, double check, make sure everyone has a coat. Anyway,
it's a good thing we're not bitter.
Well, it's we want to be angry at the kids, but we're also kind of mad at ourselves that we didn't like check again for the seventh time. You know that everyone had a coat.
Had a coat again.
It just didn't seem necessary, but that's what parenting is. It's like every damn thing that doesn't ever seem like it ought to be necessary.
It totally is.
Is like
check again.
You know,
check again.
Here we are cleaning up vomit because of whatever.
Because of whatever that I didn't check.
Yeah.
Bless my bark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do the walk a week, and was there another? What we're reading? I'm not reading anything new.
I'm actually, I have various things to talk about that I was reading, but I'm going to try and just do a brief mention of them. One of them I wrote up on my blog. It is a book of short stories by Alastair Reynolds called Deep Navigation, and it's some of his lesser known stories, including some of his earliest published work. He's a science fiction / dark space opera writer. And I initially had started to review the book on my Books That Wrote Me blog and read the first few stories and these are terrible. They shouldn't have been published. Sucked. Like these were, they show a lot of promise, but they're like workshop stories that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. The bottom of the barrel.
They were really good at setting a scene or evoking a mood, but then there was no plot to speak of. But so I was not very pleased about it, but I kept reading the stories, and then they got much better, and there were several that were really quite good.
Oh, I think you told me about, the last I heard about this was when it was like, oh,
These kind of suck, yeah. But the rest of the later stories are mostly quite good and mostly rank up with his other work. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I was pleased that I stuck it out. We also have been reading Norse myths to the kids. Mm-hmm. And we've been reading The Sword in the Stone.
The Sword in the Stone, yeah.
By T.H. White. We're almost done with that.
Full of anachronisms, very fun.
The thing is, it's not really a kid's book.
Not really.
But yet I read it.
It's not dirty or anything.
No, but it was a very substantial book to me when I was 11 or
12.
Mm-hmm. It's fifth or sixth grade, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much of it I remember, even though I don't think I've read it since then. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the thing, kind of something about me is like, stuff that happens in books is more real to me than
your life.
Than my life, and it always has been. I don't know why that is, but...
life of the mind.
Life of the mind. I'll give you the life of the mind.
Ha! Carry on.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. I also have read I finished the first half of Bernie Sanders' Our Revolution.
Yeah.
And I won't do a whole review of that now, but it's good.
It's good to come along.
Yeah, it really is. And it's... the first half, basically, you get through the entire campaign. It moves along. We're on 200-some pages, and we're done with the campaign. Mm-hmm. The second half is his policy prescriptions.
Oh, the things that we should
for
do.
For several hundred pages.
Oh,
and it actually has, I didn't count them, but...
Oh, yeah, I might like that part of the book.
Dozens and dozens of charts and graphs, you know.
Charts and graphs. Magic markers.
We're down with that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of amazing that this... That he published this in this form,
yeah.
Like with all these stats, charts and graphs, tables, talking points, it's basically a The second half of the book is basically like your marching papers for progressive causes, right?
Or,
there.
Well, or if you're in reality center right.
Yeah. So, well, for what's considered to be
progressive in the United States
causes, yes,
yeah, progressive in the United States,
yeah.
I think it's important just to contextualize, but carry on.
Right.
Yeah, so, Eleanor was eating that book up.
Literally.
Literally. Yeah.
Did you get it?
I got it from her in time.
Before she chewed up any pages.
Yes. She started on the spine.
Okay. All right. That's where you should always start. Always stroke start. The spine. It's a Harry Potter reference. Anyway. Okay. So it's going well. Our first topic in the lightning round.
Lightning round. Okay.
This is the ongoing story of sexual misconduct. Are you starting a timer?
Timer's going.
Okay.
10 minutes.
So I have a joke.
Oh, dear. Go ahead.
I first should say, I have to give credit to a guy whose handle is Corsio on Reddit. Why is Roy Moore good at blackjack?
I don't know why.
Because he thinks over 21 is a bust. You always stay with 17 to 21, and you hit on 16 and under.
There you go.
Excellent. Okay, is that tasteless enough?
That's pretty tasteless, but Roy Moore's a dirtbag. I think we know that. Carry on.
So then the revelation that kind of got me in the gut a bit this week, I have to say, I try to be as cynical as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm always finding that I can't, it's not possible to be cynical enough, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
It was Al Franken. Yeah. Like, Al Franken, no!
Really? But he can draw the United States from memory.
That's a cool party trick, I have to say. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a dirtbag, though.
And so, I don't know. I mean, I'm left with this, like, people are saying, like Slate was saying, Al Franken should resign immediately. And I'm finding myself unhappily having to agree with that. You know?
So you're not like one of the, I stand with Al Franken and here's why, people.
I'm not going to stand with Roy Moore. I'm not going to stand with Al Franken. But it does...
it's a conservative smear campaign, Paul.
I want to talk a little bit about how we're supposed to think about these things.
Think about the veracity of this witness.
No, not that.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, we can talk about that. But,
yeah, no, we can't, but go on.
But how it is that you contextualize these things when basically they are all lumped under this umbrella that you might call sexual misconduct. That's a term, yeah. I'm hearing in the BBC media, right? Mm-hmm. But it covers a lot of ground, and I find that a little frustrating.
A huge swath.
Yes. A huge swath of behaviors ranging from, you know, forcible rape and molestation and pedophilia, honestly.
On the one end.
It's called a bebophilia. To like, you know, harassing this woman, taking pictures of her while she was sleeping, pretending to grab her breasts and whatnot. And also just getting inappropriate during this skit, right?
Well, making rude jokes and whatnot. Well, here's the thing.
So it covers this huge swath of ground. I'm like, well, which of these things are impeachable offenses?
Actually, I want to be very clear, though, about Al Franken's actions.
Okay.
That was assault. It's closer to the first end of the spectrum that you described.
With the forced kissing.
I want you to think about the context.
Yeah.
He was... a colleague,
right.
But not precisely a peer. Imagine if
he wasn't.
Veronica at 13,
right,
was in a theater program with other teenagers, and someone 17 or 18, and this is an important part, he wrote this skit with this kiss for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Came up with an idea to put Veronica in a position where she had to kiss him.
Right.
And she said, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. And then he forced her to kiss him.
It's also the fact that she had been in Playboy somehow gives a lot of people license to...
Why is that even a topic of conversation?
To impugn her character.
Yeah, that's just horse shit.
But, well, it is and it isn't. But, I mean, that's why she was there.
Because she was in Playboy?
Yeah, she was on this, like, USO tour or whatnot because she was a model.
Okay, so she's a sex worker.
I guess you could call it that.
And she agreed to do certain things.
Yeah.
And he
I'm not saying that it was right. I'm saying this is being used as like a
to discredit the victim.
To discredit her and basically say, well, she was this, so it was okay to molest her more because she's already degraded.
She's a sex worker.
You know?
And it's okay to molest sex workers is the idea.
Yeah. And I'm saying I don't buy that.
Yeah, no, that's crap. I mean, and frankly, to bring it up is to deflect from his actions. And the actual thing that happened.
Yeah. He assaulted her. And it maybe wasn't what you usually consider
and then
as a sexual assault.
And then went on to continue joking about it.
Right, right. No, it was bad behavior. It was very bad behavior.
It was assault.
But she did ask him for an apology. She didn't ask for damages, which actually enhances her credibility as far as I'm concerned to some extent. And said that she has accepted his apology.
Accepted his apology. And that's
that she does not want him to resign from the Senate. So is it, is it then our job to say, no, this is beyond the pale. He has to be removed immediately. He has to go in the penalty box for 10 years or whatever.
Yes, it is.
That's our job.
That's our job. In other words, what the hell are we saying to our daughters about men that assault them? They can apologize and we should all move on? Or we tolerate their behavior in public service. We tolerate that.
Yeah. So, and every day I keep hearing that the numbers accusing Moore are going up.
Of course they are.
And
he's been around a long time being a
prick. He's been around a long time. And like, you know, I mean, somebody needs to produce the poster that was up on the wall of the elementary school saying, "Have you seen this man? Report him immediately."
Yes. Apparently they stopped short of doing that at the local mall.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just said, "No, don't come back here. Stop harassing the kids."
Yeah, this is not cool.
Not actually cool.
No.
It's kind of gross.
And it wasn't just chatting them up. It was assaulting them.
Right.
And so his wife's defending him.
I don't have any evidence about the mall story. But
no.
It's believable in the context of other things.
The actual body of evidence brought forth by the stories of, what are we at, 12 or something? 10 or 12 women?
I lost count after 6.
It's pretty, it's long past the point where it's hard to, where it's hard to believe, you know?
Right.
It's long past the point of overwhelming credibility.
Except for the tribalists. The tribalists are like, well, if another couple of dozen come forward, maybe we'll think about it. You know, and then, but then the tribalists.
But his wife says he's a fine person and a good Christian, and so.
I mean, really, why wouldn't you take her word for it?
Yeah.
Now, was she a bad person for doing that?
Well, you tell me. I'm trying to spend this, to spend as much time in this sort of flood of revelations doing more listening and less mansplaining and judging, you know?
Yes, she's wrong to do that.
You think?
Oh, come on. No, see, Paul, if you cheated on me, I would take you back, right?
Yeah.
If I found out you were raping women or molesting girls,
yeah,
you would have to leave the house.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no,
people like to bring that up.
But she believes, I presume, that she's doing the virtuous, long-suffering housewife thing. And that was a certain Democratic presidential candidate's job as well, was like smoothing over
the ruffles here.
Yeah.
For, you know.
And there was a...
standing by my man and everything.
Wasn't there a member of
staff... because that's the feminist thing to do.
Whose job was containing bimbo eruptions?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
So I don't want to... But, okay, so... It's not that I think that she's right, but I'm just wondering, where do we really place our outrage? You know, well, we place it on him, but do we also impugn
her? And his
her?
Enablers.
Yeah.
His enablers have fault to bear as well.
I unfriended someone on Facebook.
Ooh, the unfriendings.
And it's only the second or third time I've ever done that, as far as I can recall.
I've unfriended bots. Lots of people have unfriended me, though.
And it was a guy. I don't remember how I wound up friending him in the first place, but he was insisting that he supports Roy Moore. So I asked him. I said, "So can I have your Keurig machine?"
To which he responded, "What?"
What? He said, "Huh." It just H-U-H period or something. And then...
1 minute.
We have 1 minute left?
Yep.
Well, they're like, well, okay, this guy's humorless, a humorless ass. And yeah. So just like, and
you ended it there.
I just ended it. I had more jokes to make.
And you fortunately declined to make them in public.
Yeah, that was probably for the best.
Yes. No, this is a reckoning that's long since overdue. I heard a great analogy that it's a bit similar to all the revelations coming to the fore about police brutality because of cell phones, right?
Oh, cell phone cameras.
So there's cell phone cameras, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's this reality that's possible because of the age we live in and the way technology can support these kinds of revelations happening. But this reckoning is long since due. And it's a thing feminists have said for decades. You have to believe the victims.
Except for Gloria Steinem.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Or any of the current feminists coming forward to defend Al Franken. Absolutely repugnant.
It's just
and
trash.
Much like the white moderate,
yeah.
The feminists that defend perpetrators
right.
are the worst of the bunch.
Yeah.
I have nothing kind to say about that.
Yeah. All right. So, the thing is, it's like I said, I'm finding it very frustrating because, it's really hammering home this basic thing that, you know, if you admire someone for being good at something, at music, at, you know, politics, mm-hmm. at comedy, at whatever, don't delude yourself into thinking that this is a good person in any other way whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because you will only be sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
That goes for sports heroes. It goes for
all these people.
Yeah.
We're at time, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But it's just part of this. I don't know. What is 2017 going to be? The year of the great disillusioning?
For some people, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So we have another topic.
Yeah.
This one's probably going to be pretty short because I don't have a whole lot to say about it, and I don't know that you do either.
But it's here.
It's here. This is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Oh, I'll give us 5 minutes for that. I don't know that we have much.
Do
we?
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything. But carry on.
I just have the following notes. It says Mick Mulvaney will likely be appointed to the CFPB interim director position.
Hmm.
Richard Cordray is stepping down. Mulvaney has previously said that he doesn't like the fact that the CFPB exists.
Oh.
And he actually co-sponsored a bill.
To eradicate it?
To eradicate it, to eliminate the Bureau.
Yeah.
Which means that Trump is appointing him to direct it.
To direct it. Makes sense. I can see that, yeah. So I've said for a long time now that I think these folks are anarchists. And I don't say that...
In a loving way?
In a loving way. Like
no.
But I think I know what I'm looking at.
This is exactly analogous to...
I understand that. I'm pro-anarchy, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is analogous to putting Perry in charge of energy and Pruitt in charge of EPA.
And to be clear, we had very similar appointments for the last two administrations, and we didn't talk about it quite the same way.
Like...
like the guy, the Monsanto guy that was put in charge of...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
Just these absurdities. These absolute absurdities.
No, Obama did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
well,
times.
His entire cabinet was basically chosen by the Saudi prince.
Yeah.
And we're all ranking people in Goldman and whatnot.
Right.
So, yeah. So this is
nothing new. This actually is not new. This is like some new horror.
The aspect of it that does seem new is that these folks are openly and blatantly talking about eliminating or destroying or, you know, the institution that they're put in charge of rather than just corrupting it or making it more, you know. I mean, honestly, this goes back to the Council for American Competitiveness, the Quails mm-hmm. project, where, you know, let's look at regulations that impede this business.
And remove them.
Impede profitability and just and come up with a streamlined process for removing those. So that's really not that new.
So
let's destroy the entire institution and then, hey, you get to run it.
Yeah.
And that includes Carson and DeVos. Mm-hmm. It's a little weird. It's honestly, it's pretty far. But yeah, I mean, also I want to say that the sorry state of the CFPB, you can largely lay that at Obama's feet.
Oh yeah.
When he couldn't muster the balls to actually try and push Warren's appointment through.
Or just to give the Bureau teeth to really function.
To give it any teeth, to promote it, basically.
Right.
Because it was never his thing.
No. It wasn't actually his thing. He wasn't into that.
It wasn't actually part of his agenda.
No.
And so he wasn't willing to ruffle any feathers at all.
To make it happen. Right.
And that's pathetic. And
that's
so,
pathetic.
You know, Caitlin Johnstone keeps saying, progressives have to come to grips with how bad the Obama administration was if they're ever going to make any progress.
Any progress. Or make it do any better.
Do any better.
You can't do better unless you accept.
Acknowledge what's happened. Yes.
Because, like, getting back to that?
Yeah.
Isn't going to be going anywhere.
No.
My goodness. Except to your sort of, like, willed ignorance, or whatever you want to call it.
Head in the sand.
Yeah. So, that was the CFPB as far as I'm... Well, you know, I should just unpack that a little bit. So, I'm kind of, like, using anarchist almost like an insult.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually saying it as an insult.
No.
I'm saying it as a fact. That I think that anarchy is their guiding principle.
Well, especially
because they're hoping for this creative destruction to create a space where they can take things.
Especially when you look at like state, right? State Department.
Oh,
what's happening there? That what's happening with state actually unnerves me more than these other.
Just about anything else, actually.
Yeah, because
it's really creepy.
Like if you've got no one with any qualifications to negotiate
anything.
Over. Korea, you know, over Iran, whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you literally can.
It can get ugly very fast.
It can get ugly very fast, and there's no stabilizing force.
Worse than that, no. So I don't mean to suggest that anarchy is all roses and flowers and sweet peas and butterflies. No, it can be very destructive to engage anarchy if it comes from the top.
Yeah.
It's absolutely frightening.
Yeah.
Hey!
All right. Next topic. Russian collusion.
Wait, are you gonna, sorry, are you gonna read your thing here? Or is this is different than your thing?
This is not my thing.
Okay, so, all right. I have nothing nice to say about the Russian collusion, so maybe I shouldn't say too much. But, thoughts?
This is the big Dem conspiracy theory, and it's getting louder, and it's being thrown at every... wall.
Everything.
It's being thrown at everything.
Six allegations. It's the Russians.
It's getting weirder and weirder. And you laugh, but we're literally seeing people like it's like the Hillary supporters are in their basements connecting red lines between, you know, all these things on a bulletin board, you know.
It's a red panic.
And in fact, you've seen that happen now on Fox, where they're literally doing like a Glenn Beck style.
On Fox or MSNBC?
Probably both now.
I can't even tell. It's like New Republic and National Review. It's really hard. I can't tell which one is which. But go on, go ahead.
Well, New Republic is
do they have new editors
liberal now? It became more liberal when Andrew Sullivan took over.
Has it? Wait.
That was New Republic.
Okay.
National He's not Views. There anymore, but...
Okay, so is it more... It's okay.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Well, except that I do read good stuff in New Republic once in a while now.
Hey, I read good stuff in National Review once in a while.
Yeah. So...
Very long while.
So, but...
Okay, once a year.
So it's gotten batshit crazy, I swear. It's just like... it's all this uranium deal, all
Russians?
This...
Uranium?
Russians. It's all this... And now Hillary's into it because apparently she paid for the Steele dossier.
Oh my God.
But when you say, okay, well, what actually happened? You're like, happened? Oh, they bought $10,000 worth of Facebook ads.
I think it was $100,000, Paul. Like $100,000 worth of Facebook ads.
You know how much money Hillary raised between like for this electoral cycle?
Was it a billion?
It was over $1 billion with a B.
With a B. For ads. right?
Well, a lot of it went to ads.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure they paid staffers too, but not. But just you know.
Yeah.
So she
just
spent
to
a
put that
dollars.
Number in perspective, if Russians, Russia could have bought ads on Facebook for 0.000 whatever percent of what Clinton spent and raised,
change the election,
and that through the election, we deserved it. We Jesus deserved Christ,
it. Totally deserved it, or at least there's two ways to look at that. Either we had it coming, if that $100,000 in ads swung the election, or we dodged a bullet because she's that incompetent.
Yeah.
Or maybe both. Yeah, it's hard to say.
And the other thing is, you know, like their ad buys and whatnot, as far as I can tell, there was nothing illegal about that.
No.
I mean, correct, you know, maybe they violated some...
Oh, I think it certainly seems unethical.
Sure.
But I don't think it's actually...
But maybe some rule was violated, like they needed to register as a foreign agent or something. They needed to fill out some paperwork. In order
so isn't that Facebook's fault for not having them fill out the proper paperwork? Facebook isn't on this too, Paul. Oh my God. Facebook is colluding with the Russians.
God, it's
total betrayal.
You got to follow Caitlin Johnstone on this. She's on fire.
Oh God. She's the bomb.
Her Facebook account was actually shut down for a few days. Not for related to Russiagate, but because of an article she posted that was all about
Was it the FBI thing?
It was all about the false flag operations.
Oh,
historic false flag operations. All of which are very well documented.
They're all documented. We all know about them. It's an open secret.
And apparently they told her this is violated your terms. Someone complained.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing.
Fake news.
The thing is, there really is financial collusion. And Trump is all mobbed up with the Russian interests, and he has been for decades.
These are
ordinary, everyday financial crimes. And it's more like they used him as a way of laundering money. So New Republic, even without an investigation by Congress or a special prosecutor, there is much we already know about the president's debt to Russia. A review of the public record reveals a clear and disturbing pattern. Trump owes much of his business success, and by extension, his presidency, to a flow of highly suspicious money from Russia. Over the past three decades, at least 13 people with known or alleged links to Russian mobsters or oligarchs have owned, lived in, and even run criminal activities out of Trump Tower and other Trump properties. Many used his apartments and casinos to launder untold millions in dirty money. Some ran a worldwide high-stakes gambling ring out of Trump Tower in a unit directly below one owned by Trump. Others provided Trump with lucrative branding deals that required no investment on his part. Taken together, the flow of money from Russia provided Trump with a crucial infusion of financing that helped rescue his empire from ruin, burnish his image, and launch his career in television and politics.
So
this is all really well documented.
Yeah, it's not...
He couldn't get any bank financing because he kept crashing his projects into the ground and not paying contractors.
Yeah.
Everything he's done has been a money-losing operation up until he basically became a money-laundering
operation.
There's also a New Yorker article from a few months ago about a hotel project in Azerbaijan that I read.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's a huge money laundering operation linked to like the corrupt government of Azerbaijan and the Revolutionary Guard in Iran.
Uh-huh.
So there's plenty of criminality.
Yeah, and we it's all like we know.
Yeah, even just all the emoluments, just everything, all the deals and properties he's currently running as president.
And
that's essentially a criminal activity.
It's criminal activity, and we know.
Yeah.
And as a nation, we don't care.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, the criminal activity of our political leaders is actually, we kind of don't care.
We don't care.
As a nation.
Yeah.
I mean, I care as an individual, and I've used to like get hot about this stuff and talk about it, but no one cares.
No one cares.
I talk about Saudi Arabia and the Dems and Republicans too.
Or you talk about Yemen.
Yemen.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Libyan slave trade.
You talk about Israel and...
Yeah.
Really?
It's really hard to get anyone...
No one cares.
Even remotely exercised. It's like the reaction you get on the right when you talk about mass shootings and guns.
Yeah, no one cares.
Right. So I've decided I don't care about mass shootings anymore.
So it's not... So it's not that these things aren't wrong or aren't criminal, mm-hmm. or that we don't know about them and this is big news. We know about them, and as a nation, we don't care.
Right. But my whole point is, this is actual criminality, and it's staring us right in the face.
Yeah, we don't need to do anything to make the case.
Right. But what we're really investigating, and people are counting on Mueller to take him down for, is somehow some kind of collusion that threw the election. And
which is a fantasy. My God, it's just a fantasy.
It's not about some kind of fraud orchestrated by the Kremlin to influence the election. The fraud is right here.
It's right here. It's well documented. We have it.
Yeah.
And if we wanted to take action on that, we could.
Yeah.
We just don't want to. I'm like, and really, even the foaming Russiagate people.
Yeah, yeah.
Have no interest in taking action on that.
No.
Because no one cares.
It's also not clear who's got jurisdiction and whether he can be pardon himself while in office, or what kind of charges could be applied but mostly it's because no one with an R after their name will vote to impeach or hold him accountable for any of this, because that would impugn their standing in their party.
Right. Well, and which I got to come back to this. When Democrats have people who are, doing things they shouldn't do, they won't take action about it because,
right, because it's their party.
It's their party, and they'd lose some power.
Now,
this is the other thing. I think the larger issue with Russiagate is to get the Russiagate folks foaming at the mouth every couple of weeks instead of doing anything else.
Uh-huh.
And it works beautifully. They don't have to find anything. They just have to keep talking about it.
It does work beautifully. It's literally McCarthyism again. It's literally a Red Scare again.
Just a Red Scare.
Yeah.
Whip them into a panic. And who? And at some point, they'll have to throw people a bone. So somebody will be acute. Somebody will be prosecuted. Yeah.
I'm not saying there's absolutely nothing there.
I am.
Okay. I'm not saying there's absolutely nothing there. There was campaign finance money that was involved with this, right? But what isn't there is proof that somehow votes were changed, other than because people saw really poorly made ads. That's what's not there.
There's nothing there for that.
So,
And I don't mean to say that Trump's never done anything wrong,
right?
And I don't mean to say that he's not a criminal, because he is. I just mean to say there's no Russia story to speak of.
There's no election collusion meddling story to speak of.
Yeah. But we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Next.
Next topic. This is something is wrong on the internet.
No. Absolutely. This never happens. Okay, so what, 10 minutes?
You better give this one 15.
Ooh, is that weird?
10.
Okay, 10 minutes. Okay, go.
Okay. So this starts out, the first quote I'm going to read is from a piece in the Washington Post that describes a piece on Medium. And that's
That's meta.
That's a little meta and maybe confusing, but I think it'll make sense. This is a good summary of the problem. So the piece by tech writer James Bridle was published on the heels of a report from the New York Times that described disquieting problems with the popular YouTube Kids app. Parents have been handing their children an iPad to watch videos of Peppa Pig or Elsa from Frozen, only for the supposedly family-friendly platform to offer up some disturbing versions of the same. In clips camouflaged among more benign videos, Peppa drinks bleach instead of naming vegetables. Elsa might appear in a gore-covered zombie, or even in a sexually compromising position with Spider-Man. So my commentary now, parents think that an app like YouTube Kids actually is somehow curated. There's someone whose job it is to make sure that the stuff that appears on there comes from Disney, comes from,
from wherever,
Pixar, or even an off brand company, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Someone who somewhere in the ecosystem is accountable for their content.
Right. Well, why would people think?
Well,
Okay.
That's the whole kind of the whole point here. That's sort of the whole point is people shouldn't think that, and they should be actually concerned about this.
More skeptical.
More skeptical than that. It's also to say that if YouTube is going to put their name on this stuff and make money off of it,
and call it a kids
and
space.
Call it a kids application,
kids space,
space, right. They damn well better
have some kind
vet
of
vet it and something. Screen it and make it a walled garden,
right?
Because the alternative, as we will see, is just psychotic.
Deeply absurd.
Yeah. So what actually happens is the up next feature is entirely algorithmic. So when you watch a video, it looks for another video that matches a certain set of keywords.
Certain pattern, right.
Yeah. And so now we're looking at the Medium article. So Bridal talks about the surprise egg craze, videos that are actually just consist of unwrapping Kinder eggs and other toy eggs, like plastic toy eggs you might, in decades past, you might have gotten these from like a gumball machine.
Right.
I remember those.
Those were fun.
There are apparently thousands and thousands of these unwrapping videos that consist of just a pair of hands opening up toy eggs and showing kids what's inside them. And kids are mesmerized. They'll watch them for hours.
That's absurd.
They have view counts in the hundreds of millions.
Wow.
So these are a little weird. But,
that's pretty weird.
But they don't seem to be all that harmful, except that they're just ads.
They're just ads, yeah.
Yeah. But what's odd is they're not vetted ads. Like, they're not...
They just function as an ad.
When you see, like, okay, here's a pair of hands opening up an entire package of Cars movie-branded... eggs, Kinder eggs, and showing you all the little characters from the movie inside.
Right.
It's not, this isn't put out by Pixar or endorsed or something. It's just sort of coattailing. Piggybacking on a popular property to get ad revenue.
Oh.
Which in itself, you ought to scratch your head wondering,
who pays whom for what?
Who pays whom for what? And can't they shut that down with some kind of copyright ownership violation?
Yeah.
But unboxing videos have but not have always been held to be not...
Like fair use or something?
Yeah, fair use.
But, you know, this is what's so weird to me. I've also heard about these videos that apparently are children playing and kids will watch other kids playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell?
I haven't come across... just strictly kids playing, because the ones we're going to get into clearly have some either sinister or just simply demented adults behind them.
Right.
But let me keep going about this. So the toy videos are like, so all of that is actually harmful to your home life and to the kids' development.
Yeah.
But it's less harmful than, let's look at toys. Okay.
Right.
Because you think the worst outcome is they're going to start harassing you to go buy them
toys. Right.
Yeah. What's strange, a lot of them have algorithmically generated titles. So you wind up with a video called New Huge 101 Surprise Egg Opening Kinder Surprise Elmo. That's the title.
That's the title.
And that one has 440 million views. There's a techno soundtrack, and it's just a pair of hands opening 101 egg toys, all mixed types, like in a laundry basket, for 34 minutes.
Huh. Okay.
They're almost all just over 30 minutes, because there's some
magic that happens.
Benefit, like you can. That's the point where you maximize your ad revenue, is if you exceed 30 minutes.
Is it a wormhole?
Maybe. It's like the Stargate closes at exactly 30 minutes.
Right. Help. Yeah. Got all the ad revenue. Gotta shut it off.
It's really not something that a parent would want to watch all the way through.
Yeah.
But then you get bored pretty fast watching this with this boring techno soundtrack and all these toys. Like, oh, look, Elmo's inside this egg. Yay.
Elmo again.
And then you scroll down and you start looking at the comments and you realize that the comments are all gibberish.
Yeah.
Like random strings of characters and words, they seem to have no connection to the video.
So these really small
and you're children? Like, what is going on here?
What basement bin have we found on YouTube? Right.
If you let these play, and it starts following, doing the up next algorithmic thing, you get more and more videos with names like Huge Egg Surprise Toys Challenge, Inflatable Water Slide Disney Car Toys, Paw Patrol Spider-Man. That's going to be the name of this podcast, by the way. Where a kid, like, this one is a real kid exploring an inflatable play slide and retrieving egg toys from it. And it looks like his mom bought and rented this inflatable slide and then spent an afternoon shooting video of the kid running through it and pulling out eggs and then opening all the eggs.
Okay.
And she just did this because, hey, you can, she's got like a billion views or something. Who knows? You know, like, you can apparently make money doing this. Wow. So,
maybe I'm doing this mother thing.
You're doing it wrong. That video, I'm not joking. That video is listed as having almost 1 billion views.
That doesn't even make sense.
It makes sense if you keep in mind that there are a billion cell phones in the world and a billion agitated parents giving their kids YouTube app to watch.
Come on, just watch this. Okay.
And maybe they start out playing a Disney video or something, but then the up next algorithm shuttles them off to the next keyword match.
To the basement, apparently.
Right.
To a trap door in the basement. My God. Okay.
So that basically, the title is designed to get the video ranked in searches and attached to the next up if you're watching any of these videos, right?
Oh, 2 minutes.
We're going to have to extend this one a little bit. Yeah, sorry.
There's more.
Things get much weirder. So there's the Finger Family songs. And there's this little, like, it's like the Where is Thumpkin melody? Where is Thumpkin? Where they show off all the little fingers, and it's like a counting video. And so there's this song, but there are now, so Bridal claims that there are over 17 million Finger Family animated videos for kids to watch.
I don't understand how that's possible.
It's only possible if they are basically being churned out by bots that just assemble.
These aren't the live action ones.
These are animated.
These are animated.
So bots are generating the title. They may even have the exact same video content. I don't know. Bots are turning out these titles, which are just permutations on like the top kids' video keywords. And generating the video clips and uploading them. And there we are. And apparently bots are also watching them, because you could set up a bot farm to watch the videos to rack up ad revenue.
That makes a little more sense than a billion kids watching trash.
Well, I honestly don't know.
Right.
But then you can boost the ranking of the videos by making a bot farm that also posts comments on the videos. So it's like we're creepily close to just removing the human element altogether, and just like this idealized virtual child is being catered to by an army of bots producing, watching, ranking, and commenting on,
and then paying each other
endless number of videos and generating revenue out of this somehow.
For what reason I can't contemplate, but
because the bots watch the ads, and
because
they're actually doing us a valuable service by watching the ads for us.
Yeah, that can't be underestimated.
Anyway, so this is Bridal. A huge number of these videos are essentially created by bots and viewed by bots and even commented on by bots. That is a whole strange world in and of itself, but it shouldn't obscure that there are also, this is what he believes, many actual children plugged into iPhones and tablets watching these over and over again, which in part accounts for the inflated view numbers, learning to type basic video search terms into the browser, or simply mashing the sidebar, the up next, to bring up another video.
More video.
Now he points out some of them start to become disturbing.
Right.
He said, these are decidedly off.
Right.
Something's not right. he says they contain elements that might trouble anyone. So he includes a video that uses the Finger Family music and a bunch of Disney characters doing a head swap. Now, there are like kids' books like this where you have like head, body, and feet on pages and you fold them over and you have to pick out the right combination.
Right.
Yeah. But these are animated. Right. And so this one is called Wrong Heads Disney, Wrong Ears, Wrong Legs. Kids Learn Color Finger Family 2017 Nursery Rhyme.
Yay!
If you watch this, and I did, I'm sorry to say, you see Disney characters getting their heads swapped. And when the wrong head goes on a body, Agnes from Despicable Me appears and bursts into tears. And you have this crying sound. And it's a little unnerving that really young kids would be watching this, because kids are very sensitive to like the emotional content of
right.
And videos that like this.
The character they're sympathetic with is upset.
Right.
Right.
Right. So that one's weird, but it didn't seem that harmful. But then they get increasingly weird and disturbing. They're like Peppa Pig. They're a fake Peppa Pig, where Peppa Pig goes to the dentist and gets all his teeth pulled. And,
oh,
you know,
Peppa Pig.
But some of the ones that he was citing have been removed, so I could not actually watch them.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, so they are. Someone is responding to some of these complaints, it looks right. like. But then you get to ones like Buried Alive Outdoor Playground Finger Family Song Nursery Rhymes Animation Education Learning Video. Did you ever see the movie Sallow, 120 Days of Sodom?
No. Buried Alive Learning Video, but carry on.
So this, not to say that this was explicitly pornographic and violent and graphic like Sallow was, which is basically kind of a torture snuff film, honestly, in an artistic way. And it's all commentary about the bourgeois, you know, it's like, it's an art film. But this is like the kids' cartoon version of that with stuff that's not explicitly pornographic. Like these cartoon characters get buried up to their necks and then like people jump on their heads. And there's a scene in Sallow where they line up all the dissidents. And actually, I can't remember if this is Sallow or another... Who's that Roman Empire that was so corrupt?
Like other than the Roman Empire?
The Roman Emperor.
Oh, Emperor.
Caligula.
Caligula, yeah.
Yeah, there's a clip from Caligula where a bunch of people are buried up to their necks and Caligula has this giant machine that rolls along until it's, and slices off their heads.
That's
to the cheers of the... You know, it's like a...
Sound like the resistance, but carry on.
it's like a Colosseum fight, you know, except that everyone's helpless. So, so this is like a cartoon version of that video to some extent. It's not nearly that violent or graphic, but it's just, it's deeply, deeply weird.
Deeply weird and evocative of that kind of
scene. It's made of stock copyright characters like the Scream Guy, the Joker, Spider-Man. They're rendered in 3D models over stock sound effects and music loops for 30 minutes. So,
these are like really hooky in there for 30 minute videos.
Bridal says, I've written enough. Too much, but I feel like I actually need to justify all this raving about violence and abuse and automated systems with an example that sums it up. Maybe after everything I've said, you won't think it's so bad. I don't know what to think anymore. And this is where he kind of got me, and I'm like watching these, and then I'm like, they're so unsettling, but in a subtle way that it's true. After a while, you'd really don't know what to think is going on.
What's happening here?
So... like I was watching one of them that shows these cartoon characters riding motorcycles through a drive-thru.
Oh.
Oh, no. I'm almost done.
Yeah, carry on. Almost done.
There's a section that's supposed to teach colors. So the video says the name of the colors, and then you see a hamburger of that color. Then the character eats the burger and turns into that color. Right. So that doesn't seem very pedagogically sound. Right?
No. It is not, actually.
It transitions to a different section where an animated Elsa travels through some kind of rendered environment, and then she falls off a cliff, where she's falling for like a minute. She lands in a stream. She talks to Spider-Man, who's fishing, and then he walks around while this weird random upbeat music plays. He sees a strange world rendered with fidget spinners and ice cream cones, and then is dissolved by some kind of energy beam, and then he falls off the cliff. And it's just going through these permutations of actions and characters.
It's almost like a dream sequence.
That's what I was saying. It's like, It violates physics. There's no clear pedagogical value. It's all over the map as far as copyright violation. The closest analogy is like a fever dream or a bad drug trip, I think.
Yeah.
Also, the emotional content of the music and sound effects are, which often have giggling and whatnot, they're like completely divorced from the action. Which makes it seem like if you watch this a lot, eventually you will be schizoid, you know. Like you will not be able to connect emotional cause and effect with events.
Right.
So.
Wow.
They get weirder too. There are some that are just live, that are live action, like Baby Police versus Frozen, Elsa, Snow White, Pink Spider Girl, and More Funny Superhero Video.
I don't want to know.
They're going through the McDonald's drive-thru, and then you and I were just watching one where this kid was pretending to run over his mom with a toy car.
Yeah.
And then later in that video, their cupboards are entirely stuffed with McDonald's Happy Meals. And then they involve giving each other shots.
Like vaccinations or
Like shots in the butt. Like they have a big plastic syringe that they're pretending to shoot each other up with. And, you know, there's some of them involve Elsa, who's pregnant. They're often in bathing suits. They're just, I really honestly do not quite know what to think, except don't let your kids watch YouTube unattended. Jesus Christ, for the love of God.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I mean, I can't say for sure exactly what the point of all these is and who's behind them, but this is a weird thing that's happening, and it's real.
It's real, and it's weird.
Yeah, don't watch Frozen Elsa chased by giant crazy bad chocolate with Spider-Man versus Jack Frost kids movie IRL. Just don't do it.
No.
Don't let them watch it.
No.
And maybe, I don't know, delete YouTube from your phone or something.
Something. Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah.
Is that the last one?
That's the last one. Do you have anything else? We have some listener feedback.
Why the hell do you have a Keurig machine? That's what I want to know. Why does it even have a Keurig machine?
To own the libs.
Oh.
No, I mean, you can think of it as, hey, if Mother Jones ever ran an editorial about how wasteful these things are, how much trash they produce, let's go out and make sure we buy one, which is, it's kind of like the rolling coal thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, Mr. Prius driver, let me get in your face and with this huge waste of gas
Everything. And
create a bunch of soot.
So there.
So there.
And
I mean, that's...
is that why people have these Keurig machines?
No, people don't have them for that reason. They have them because if you're like my boss, you're setting up, you know, a little break space at an office and... You want to provide coffee, but you don't want to have to deal with cleaning out a coffee maker every day and, you know, and keeping fresh coffee on hand or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So you just buy a Keurig, and then you just, when you go to, you know, Office Depot to buy toilet paper and legal pads, you
get
also buy a giant case of Dunkin' Donuts, you know,
pods.
Or whatever flavor
pods.
And the coffee's not very good, but it has the intended effect, which is give you, you know, if you're a boss, you want everyone to be drinking coffee.
You want to wake your employees up.
To keep them functioning.
Why do people have these in their homes, though?
What's
that about?
That I'm a little harder pressed to understand, except that I guess for a while they were... I think it was like a lower budget version of these very high-end... coffee makers.
Oh.
Because you could buy an espresso machine that was automatic that uses pods and makes espresso and actually makes pretty good coffee.
Oh.
And those are quite expensive, and most people can't afford these, especially if you're paying off $500,000 McMansion.
For example.
But you could buy a $120 Keurig machine, which kind of looks gleaming and shiny and makes coffee that if you... It's say you've never coffee. Tasted coffee before, you might mistake it for the real thing. I don't know. I'm being really cynical. I would not buy a Keurig. There was this big scam over Keurig 2.0 where they were introducing pods that would only, the machine would only work with official pods. Like, wow.
Wow. It's like that, is it?
And so that's one issue. There's, I just don't want to deal with a company that tries to enforce that kind of bullshit. It's like the Juicero thing, right?
Never heard of it. I don't think I want to.
Okay. Well, you're lucky. Mm-hmm. But it's also that the coffee's stale.
Yeah.
It's pre-ground.
Yeah.
You're buying it through a big box store. It's been in transit or in a warehouse forever. And the pods are not compostable or recyclable.
It's just trash.
It's a lot of trash.
It's a lot of trash.
Okay. And it's also, if you see these in stores now, when you walk into the coffee aisle at Kroger or whatnot, it used to be that it was all cans. Right. And if you'd go by like cubic foot of shelf space,
right,
that wall of coffee cans was, I don't know, 50% coffee.
Yeah.
By volume or something like that. And now it's a wall of Keurig
pods
in boxes, and it's probably 5% coffee by volume.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure that per serving, it's relatively expensive. I've never bought them.
Yeah, no.
But, yeah, it's like pay a lot, make a lot of trash for this convenience.
I guess it's convenience.
It is convenient.
Which, you know,
we have one at work.
I understand people looking for convenience.
You know what I mostly use the thing for is you can open up, you can pull out the pods and close the thing up and just get hot water out of it.
Oh. So
like I use it to make tea.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I guess.
Because it only takes a few seconds.
To get hot water.
Yeah, because it's like a Mr. Coffee. It has a water tank and a built-in heater.
Got it.
And it just heats the water in small quantities as it flows through.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But it's yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, and this is not to like, I'm not making a personal attack against anyone who owns one. It's just,
no.
It just seems so absurd to me.
If you own a Keurig machine, we'd be curious to hear your thoughts. We're not judging you for buying it.
Like well, no,
it's just,
I actually want to know, why do you have it?
It's just, we don't feel that we would buy this thing. Well, another thing that I see about them is like compared to a Mr. Coffee, which is just a switch and a heater and, you know, maybe a timer.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. These things are a lot of e-waste. They have touch screens, right? They have LCD touch screens. You've seen the one in my office, haven't you?
No, I've probably seen it, but I like just edited it out.
I didn't. Didn't register.
Didn't
yeah. No, you select just how you select the size of the container, which determines how much water it feeds through the grounds.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, and if you get it wrong, then you have coffee everywhere. Anyway. Okay. That's a Keurig thing. But yeah, it turned into a political football, and like literally people were making videos throwing their Keurig machines off balconies to protest, I guess, Hannity. I guess Keurig pulled their ads from Hannity,
who gave a favorable interview to Roy Moore.
Yeah, and was defending Moore, although there's some debate about just how much of defense.
Although he's turned that around, he's not defending Moore anymore because he's not that kind of person.
Exactly. Whatever. Supposedly he gave him like a 24-hour deadline to release more information or something.
More information.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's wouldn't call it turned on him, but so people were smashing their Keurig. I don't know how many people really. It's like how many people actually set fire to their MAGA hats. You know?
I don't know. Yeah.
But a few people did this, and like so. I'm just imagining, your wife comes home, and you're like, "Hey, honey, I smashed the coffee maker."
And
she's like,
"Why did you do that?
Good.
Why did you do that?
Because you're gonna regret this in about 8 hours.
I just deeply. I'm gonna have to go through the drive-thru now.
Jesus.
Don't go to Starbucks, whatever you do.
Yeah. Anyway,
places love to get coffee.
So I don't know. That's the Keurig thing.
Long-suffering MAGA supporter.
poor guys.
Poor guys
and women. Actually, poor wives of. Yeah.
Is that how it's? I don't know. I think couples line up though. I guess as different as your views are.
Yeah.
You know, They're in spitting distance.
I guess. I need to not idolize women because white women voted more than 50%
for Trump.
For Trump. Yes. And like, okay, well, whatever, you know, like, not so much feminist per se, but whatever like idea I may have had that women were somehow inherently had tended towards moral superiority to men, like that wiped that whole part out of your brain forever. Yeah.
Women are human beings.
Oh no.
They're human beings, just just as susceptible to the tribalism that men are.
I even heard that they poop.
Oh, that's not true.
Okay, thank God. All right. We did get some listener feedback.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, on the YouTube video, Remember Your Friend.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
She was suggesting that I use tremor exercises for some of my nightmares and grogginess. Well, specifically for the nightmares, right?
Yeah.
And I do actually do tremor exercises every day. I just don't do them before bed.
Okay.
Because...
well, you're nursing a baby. You're trying to get meds into the baby and meds into yourself. And the kids are
freaking out
and like not brushing their teeth.
Not brushing their teeth. They're not brushing my teeth. Okay, fine. Brush my teeth if you insist. Yeah, but no, it's like this sort of fever pitch.
Yeah. Right. And then honestly, by the time they're actually settled, we're like, our eyes are dragging closed.
So it hasn't happened right before bedtime. But one of the things I was thinking about, though, is it really seems like a chemical reaction taking place with this medication, and it needs to be neutralized in some way. Mm. So I wonder if I could induce a tremor that would release like some kind of dopamine or oxytocin or chemical that would help wipe that out.
I don't know either. Sure. I got nothing.
But
I just hate to see you.
A shot of whiskey seems to go a long way, though.
I just hate to see you so miserable in the morning when I'm trying to get up and ready. And I'd really like to have breakfast with you before the kids are up and around and get out.
That would be nice.
But you're like,
I'm barely conscious. I'm not sure what the word is, but like, I'm not ready to get out of bed. I'm not stable on my feet. I'm really not
100%. Yeah, even if we get supposedly enough time for
It's not that I'm not well rested. I'm.
You feel terrible.
I just feel terrible. I just have a pounding headache. I'm dizzy. I have poor motor control and orientation in space. I just kind of have to let that wear off before I'm really safe behind the wheel or safe at a stove, etc.
Right. No, I just don't know what to do for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad your blood pressure is remaining controlled. That's about all I can say about it. But I wouldn't wish this on anyone. So.
Yeah, so there it is.
All right.
It's been better. But yeah.
So I think we're going to record two podcasts this week.
Yeah, I think we are.
And we may do another one after dinner or tomorrow at some point because I've got a long rant in me.
I know.
Bottled up.
Bottled up, ready to go.
Yeah.
I need a blow. I need a blow, man.
A long rant.
And then can we stop talking about the Dems?
Oh, God.
I hate the Dems so much.
Let it out.
Well, no, it's kind of like,
what's to talk about?
What's to talk about? I mean, I don't talk about the Republicans because I...
Yeah. You left them. You scraped them off your shoe long ago. Scraped
off my shoe a long time ago. Yeah. So what else, you know...
I'm just so fed up.
Is this you scraping the Dems off your shoe? Is that what this is?
I guess it is. I guess it is.
Yeah.
But it's been a long journey, you know, a long scraping. But maybe this is. I guess I'm looking for, we're not going to launch right into this thing
now.
But I guess I'm looking for some kind of justification that I feel like will hold up against everyone looking at me and saying, well, you know, one day you'll grow up. But there isn't any.
There isn't any.
My views are my views, and my moral choices and decision, my justifications for them are my own.
Really? Well, no, you are the person
Yeah.
who has to accept accountability for your soul.
Yeah, and this is what you were...
The person who has to do that.
This is kind of what you were saying when people were jumping on me about the election. You were saying, your phrase was, hey, keep your eyes on your own paper. Yeah. Everyone's got to take this exam themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
So there it is.
Okay. So anything else you'd like to... I've done a lot of talking this time because I had a backlog.
A backlog. A week's worth. No, I think I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for listening. Leave feedback on YouTube or on the blog or on Facebook or on Twitter or
you
on...
You could skywrite it like that Navy writer. Did you read about the Navy writer who skywrote a
penis? Yeah, skywrite a giant dick over our house if you want to express your opinion of our podcast.
We'd like that, too.
That'd be great. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, till next time.